Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are visiting with Fred Flights, our colleague at the Center for Security Policy, a career and very distinguished professional in the intelligence business, the author of a very important book entitled Obama Bomb, The Great and Growing National Security Fraud. He has been devoting time of late to putting a similar treatment together concerning Iran's nuclear partner, North Korea. It is now out. I'm very pleased to say it is entitled The Coming North Korea Nuclear Nightmare. And Fred, what you talk about in this book, in addition to a I think, very carefully done and quite appropriate critique of the Obama practice of so-called strategic patience, is what President Trump has been doing since he came to office, both in the way of a different approach and hopefully one that will be far more effective. Talk a little bit about that, please.
Well, I describe how President Trump really has taken an unorthodox approach to North Korea, and I include criticism of it. And I note that it appears to be very successful. He has basically said to the North Koreans that he's not going to stand for its violations of sanctions, for its continual threats to the United States and its allies, its threats with to attack with nuclear weapons, its missile tests. And I think the real difference here is that with the president's rhetoric and with an across-the-board campaign to press international officials at almost every meeting to stop their connections with North Korea. In some instances, our diplomats have brought up connections that foreign officials didn't know about that they had with North Korea. It's made a difference. The president has succeeded in passing much tougher UN sanctions with significantly improved enforcement. There have been some loopholes. There's been some cheating, but I believe North Korea is feeling real pain. But most important, the North Korean leadership sees Mr. Trump as a credible president who could use military force against it. And that's something that North Korea has not seen in a long time. And I think it has caused the North Korean leadership to at least change its tactics. I think the jury is still out on whether it is actually sincere in denuclearizing.
Yeah. This is, of course, going to be very much at the forefront of the conversations that we will be watching carefully coming up. And I want to talk to those about those with you, Fred Flights, in a moment. But just staying with the president's new approach, in part, clearly, the kind of campaign of maximum pressure, as it's called, that you just described, Fred, is a function of the still greater capabilities that were clearly in the works in North Korea prior to this presidency, but that have become manifest now, notably advanced ballistic missiles and of sufficient range unquestionably to cover the United States, the advent of a thermonuclear weapon, it appears, as well, and presumably, you know, follow-on capabilities with respect to achieving perhaps this super electromagnetic pulse capability as well. So the president has ample reason to be trying to focus seriously on this and correct what's being done. To what extent is that, in fact, the reason that we're seeing a greater degree of cooperation on the part of other nations, is that they now get it. This is no kidding, down to the possibility of really of a conflict being the only way to prevent perhaps Armageddon.
I think other nations were waiting for credible U.S. leadership. I also believe that North Korea's missile test, and especially the possible H-bomb test, was a bridge too far for many of our leaders. You know, I argue with my conservative friends about China. I think China is an adversary, and it wants to use North Korea as a proxy against the United States. But there is credible information that the Chinese are very displeased with North Korea's possible H-bomb test. They're worried about radiation leaking into China. And also, they don't like being criticized publicly by the president of the United States for violating sanctions and lying to him. And I think all these factors have increased Chinese compliance with sanctions. I think that that compliance is imperfect. Maybe maybe there's significant cheating, but that has played a role in putting more pressure on North Korea than it has ever felt, and to at least change tactics. And as I said, we still don't know whether they're sincere in wanting to denuclearize.
Yeah. Well, let's turn to that, Fred Flights, because this is really the multi-billion dollar question right now. First of all, I'm uncertain whether we actually have ground truth on what the North Koreans have on the table at the moment. To the best of my knowledge, they have not yet officially acknowledged in their media that they're even having this meeting with President Trump, let alone that they've undertaken to denuclearize in the course of it. In fact, I've talked about some reporting by Lawrence Peck, a North Korea expert, indicating that the North Korea media, the propaganda arm of the state, run by his sister, by the way, Kim Jong-un's, who is much feted in the Olympics in South Korea recently, it indicates that there's a continuing attachment to their nuclear capabilities, which they describe as a deterrent force. Walk us through that, Fred. Do we know that there is indeed a willingness on the part of the North Koreans to denuclearize? And if not, what is the purpose of this conversation, do you think?
I've been thinking this through, and I've been discussing it with the discussion on Fox, for example. I suspect that even the North Koreans were surprised that the president so quickly accepted their invitation. It may not have been a serious invitation. Now they're trying to decide how to respond. We have to assume that this is just a ploy to buy time, to divide the U.S. from other countries, to extract concessions, and to weaken sanctions. That's what the North Koreans do in negotiations. That's their track record. They have a long way to go to prove to us that they are sincere. This is how they could prove it. They have to first stop nuclear and missile tests. They've done that temporarily. There have to be intrusive inspections of every nuclear and missile site. They can't declare sites off limits like they did in the past. Nuclear missile sites and nuclear weapons have to be disassembled. Nuclear fuel has to leave the country. And there has to be a complete and accurate accounting of North Korea's nuclear and missile programs. And as I said, North Korea offered accountings in the past. They cheated on it and were rewarded anyway. That can't happen again.
Do you see any evidence, Fred Flights, that the North Koreans are in fact prepared to do those things? You mentioned that they've stopped nuclear testing, they've stopped ballistic missile testing. I'm told that there is satellite imagery of the facility at Yongbyon where they have been manufacturing plutonium for their nuclear weapons program, that it's still at work. And how much, you know, you're an intelligence professional, so you know this far better than I, but you have been noting, I think, that we have been repeatedly surprised by some of these tests, especially on the missile side. Could preparations for those be continuing apace and we're just not able to discern it?
The North Koreans are experts at defeating our spy satellites because so much has been leaked on our intelligence capabilities. I laugh every time I see an expert say a North Korean nuclear test is coming based on satellite imagery because it's almost always wrong. The North Koreans test, no one ever knows the tests are coming. I haven't seen any evidence. We just know secondhand that the North Koreans want to denuclearize. No North Korean official, as far as I know, has said that to U.S. official. We need a lot of confirmation before we can treat this as true.
Right. And this really brings me to my last point on that, Fred, and that is, could the South Koreans who met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un and others have either misunderstood or simply misrepresented what was being said in the hopes that they would be able to move things along as President Moon over there is anxious to do. Fred, we have to pause for one more break. When we come back, I do want to get back to this other very dramatic development in terms of American diplomacy, the replacement of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson with Mike Pompeo, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, a man I think we both know and admire greatly. We'll be right back to talk about the new lineup at the State Department right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.